Genesis chapter 2. I met Antonio tonight for the first time, and he probably thought I was the weirdest pastor he's ever met. I said, "Are you married?" He said, "I just walked in your door." He didn't say that. I said, "Well, I'm preaching on marriage tonight." So whether you're married or not, and remember this, what we talk about tonight is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. That's why there's no marriage or giving in marriage in heaven. Jesus will fulfill every heart's desire and give us the joy that we need. So just one meme tonight. You know, when the pastor says, "Bring your problems to the altar," this is probably not what he was talking about. So that's just one thing. But what I want to talk about just before we jump into the less, L-E-S-S, and last week we talked about love and enjoy, is just some of the primary reasons why God created marriage. Just three. I want you to see this, and you'll see these three reasons, and these three reasons will be satisfied in Christ. You'll see these three reasons will be fulfilled for all eternity in Christ. And so it's also, I say this, it's also why 1 Corinthians 7 would say, if you can control and manage the flesh, it would be better that you'd be single than that you would be married. And that's so that you and I would be focused on the kingdom of God. God is pro-marriage. He is, he just says that in 1 Corinthians 7. But let's just look at three reasons. I think this is good, and then we'll jump into finishing the message last week. This is kind of what I do. There's information that's helpful. First reason God established marriage was loneliness and help. You'll see this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, which I had you open your Bibles to. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." Loneliness and help. And so I've told you this. You've heard me say it a number of times over the years as I've preached. One of the things I was not really aware of before I became a pastor is loneliness is one of the tools of the devil. The devil uses loneliness to draw people into things that they would never ever be drawn into. And so it's real, and Christ needs to be our satisfaction, our joy. But he also knows this. Adam walked with God. And he says it's not good that man should be alone, and so he said, "I'll make him help me." So loneliness and help. Second thing I want you to see is to raise a godly seed. To raise a godly seed. Yes, he said to be fruitful and multiply and to replenish the earth. And so he says this in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. He's just talking here, and he says, "And did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit." I could explain that, but I'm not going to. "And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." And so he's talking, I know, specifically to Israel. But God's intent for you and I, that we're believers, is that we would raise a godly seed. We would raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is one of our great responsibilities. It needs to be the priority for those of you that God's given you, you know, biological children, right? Or adoptive children. The reason I say biological because I speak so much about spiritual children. But I tell you this, that you don't have to be married to raise a godly seed. Again, I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. Do you see how these truths, Christ can fulfill our loneliness. Christ is our help. Christ is our satisfaction. And through Christ, we can raise a godly seed. We can see others saved, and those will be our spiritual children. We will be their spiritual father, their spiritual mother. And this is really why God saved us. And so I bring up all of this to say there's relevance in all of these because everything does come back to Christ. But then the third reason is to picture Christ and his church, his glory in the church. I'll use this in just a second, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 27, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, the church, to him a glorious church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Let me just turn quickly to Ephesians. I want to take you to just verse 31. Look at Ephesians chapter. Just listen. If you want to turn there, that's fine. He says in verse 31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. He says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What? But you're talking about marriage. He was. But the primary discussion in Ephesians 5 was how marriage will picture Christ and the church. Well, that's a challenge for us, isn't it? How do our marriages glorify the Lord? Because when it comes down to it, it's all about His glory. Jesus established the institution of His church for His glory. And so it's shocking when you read verse 32. And then He seems to shift back. But verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So those are just three reasons. I take you back there. Three reasons, and we could talk and talk more, but I think those are three primary reasons God created marriage. Loneliness and help, raise a godly seed, picture Christ and his glory in the church. And so I think you can do that. Don, what you did today by uniting yourself with the church, I could show you in Scripture, following salvation, it's one of the greatest things you can do to save your life from waste. You will now be accountable. Not in an obnoxious way, but you're going to be missed when you're not here. And we're going to help you, right? There's no such thing as freelance Christianity. It was never intended, and it doesn't work. We're not disciplined enough. You've done one of the greatest things you could do. Unite yourself with the church. Serve the Lord. It's key so that your life isn't wasted. And when we're dead and gone, we will not have wished we had wasted our life. There is no better way to honor Christ than through His church. He receives glory through His church. And marriages picture that as well. So let me just quickly go through. Less is more, right? So you guys all know what those are. That's love, enjoy, submit, and study. And so I know now that you've had a week, you all totally agree with that last S in study. And so we'll talk about that tonight. But John 3:30, John the Baptist said, he must increase, Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. I will tell you that's the successful recipe within a marriage if we put others ahead of ourselves. So we talked love and enjoyment. Let me just quickly, I've got one story that I wasn't able to share with you on enjoyment. And so let me give you one principle on enjoyment. It is your spouse, you know, we talked about this. So we talked about love, we talked about enjoy. Your spouse will know whether you like them or not. And it's a big deal to me, right, that Deb likes me, right? And I know, I tell people this all the time, men, we have fragile egos, right? And so why do I need my wife to like me? I do. And so I'm glad she does. And if she knows how to fake it, write a book, you'll sell millions. And so it's a big deal to me that she likes me, but it's how you think about one another. And it's really, you can move your spouse to be even greater by your esteem for them, your view of them. Here's a really cool story. I'm sure some of you have heard it over the years. In the Hawaiian Islands centuries ago, men would buy their wives cows. If they were a good catch, they would be traded for three cows. So don't you mess with my heifer. And just kidding. If they were a good catch, they would be traded for three cows. If they were an especially unusual catch, this is true, with great attributes, they might go for four cows, and on one amazing occasion, a bride was even worth five cows. True story. On the north shore of the island lived a poor farmer with two daughters. One of the daughters might have been called the runt of the litter. The poor farmer decided that he would take two cows for his daughter, and if push came to shove, he might even accept one cow. Her younger sister was beautiful, charming, and had good character. The farmer was not worried about her at all. Johnny Lingo, the richest man on the island, came calling on the household to inquire about a wife. To everyone's astonishment, Johnny said he was interested in the oldest daughter. The farmer flipped for joy. He knew that Johnny was well-to-do, and with his good fortune, he thought he might get three cows. He even thought he may get four cows. You could imagine how he felt when Johnny showed up with 10 cows. The dad almost had a heart attack. And he quickly called the village chief to perform the ceremony, afraid that Johnny would change his mind, have a heart attack, or even regain his senses. In those days, a three-cow honeymoon lasted for a year. When Johnny Lingo paid 10 cows, he said he would be gone 2 full years. When the day came for Johnny to return, the people were excited to see the couple. When the couple got within a close distance, they immediately recognized Johnny, but they were not sure about the girl. She was beautiful, graceful, poised, confident, and self-assured. People began to think that Johnny got a bargain for paying 10 cows. What happened was Johnny, upon paying the 10 cows, made her a 10-cow wife. You understand, it's if we beat each other down, if we're constantly telling each other our faults, we can make a 10-cow spouse a 1-cow spouse. But if you build your spouse up and not just flattery, I'm talking sincerely, find the good things about your spouse, you will change the spirit of your spouse. For some that haven't heard it, I'll tell you the story. I told it up in Wilmington. You know the story. Maybe all of you have heard it, but you're going to hear it again. Front row scholars have forgotten it. Front row scholars. There was a man, he was going to get divorced from his wife. And so he hated his wife. And she begged him. She said, oh, would you just go to marital counseling? Would you just go to this one counselor? He is esteemed. He is the best. And he said, you know, just fine, I will, but it's not going to change anything. Well, then she found out that it was going to be 3 months. She couldn't schedule the counselor for 3 months, and it was 6 hours away. And so for the next 3 months, he was miserable, and his hatred for her increased. And then come to find out, not only was the counselor 6 hours away, but he was $1,000 an hour. And so he's going to wait 3 months with a wife that he didn't want to be with, going to drive 6 hours, and pay $1,000 an hour. So that day comes, and he drives, and the counselor hears from the wife. He hears from the husband, and he looks at the husband, and he says, be nice. Johnny, waiting, do you have anything else to say? Nothing. Nothing from the counselor. He is furious. I put up with this woman for 3 months. I paid more than $1,000, and now we have a 6-hour drive. Didn't talk the entire drive home. And so they get home, he goes to work the next day, and he's telling some of his coworkers, can you believe this? I put up with this woman for 3 months, I paid $1,000, and all this guy has to do, he looks at me and says, be nice. The coworker looks at him and says, why don't you try it? Johnny was ticked. He said, fine, I'll show you, I'll be nice and won't change anything. Over the course of time, Johnny began just to be nice to his wife. Nice, just kind. What they found out is they fell in love with him. Didn't get divorced. And the marriage that was on the brink of divorce turned into a marriage that not only did they love each other, but they enjoyed each other. If in all the things, if you could do one thing and I could do one thing for my spouse, it's be nice. I think if I asked Deb, what is your greatest request outside of my checkbook? Just kidding. She would say, be nice. Be nice. And so when you think about that, love and enjoy your spouse. I ought to try it sometime. You ought to try it sometime. It will be life-changing. The first S you'll see is submit. Now, we talk about this often, but it's again, I want to tell you this. I believe this. The key to the victorious life in Christ. Okay, you say, you give all kinds of keys. I know it's abiding in Christ, but part of abiding in Christ is submitting to Christ. It's submitting your own personal life, your personal time, your personal whatever, and you submit and you give Christ your time, and you abide with Christ. Submission is the key to the victorious life. I'm convinced submission is the key to a great marriage. And it's not just the women that need to submit. It's harder for women to submit. You understand that, right? Am I going to get anybody to shake their head yes? Do you think it's harder for women to submit? That's the right answer. Rachel's like, yeah, I'm just going to cooperate. And so I'll tell you a story. There was a couple that came late. I don't know how this happened, but I said, she was guessing, and I said, oh, you know the S word. And she said, "You want me to say it?" I was thinking submit, right? And she was thinking of another S word. And so she said, I'm like, "That's not what I was talking about. That would be so weird, you know." But I was talking about submit. And so, but it's submission. It's submission, right? And so here's why it's harder for women to submit. There were two curses on the woman. When God put a curse on Adam, he would not, you know, get any food but the sweat of his brow. And then the serpent, you know, and the earth was cursed. And not only do women have pain in child labor, but they also, God says this, they will want to rule over their husband, but he will rule over them. And it looks like that wasn't the intent. You see, understand this. It was that there would be the head of the home, but it wasn't in terms of this submission to the level that it is. That's why it's harder. It goes against your nature. It goes against all of our natures to submit. But I would suggest it's doubly hard for the woman. You can go back and study that. In fact, we'll be there in just due time in Genesis after we finish Daniel. Let's just look at a few verses. Philippians chapter 2, I've mentioned this before. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You bow to the needs of others. You give to the needs of others. Now, Ephesians 5:18, I'm going to take you to the same passage we just sort of read, but I want to give you the background that leads us to, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, so we kind of see what the Lord's talking about. He says this in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Right? It's the reason it's this way is when you're drunk with wine, what's controlling you? The alcohol. Your judgment is impaired. You're being, you know, led by the alcohol. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit. And Ron's probably giving me, I'll steal your illustration, it's the wind and the sails of a boat. See, the boat can't go anywhere that the wind won't let it, right? You can put your sail up this way, but if the wind's going to tell you which direction you're going to go, when you're filled with the Spirit, he'll lead you which direction to go. And so just remember that as we come into this. So he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want you to notice, this is a key to submission. We need to be filled with the Spirit, and we need to have a song in our heart, and actually, the Bible says, we need to be singing. I love this. You know this. I've told you this 100 times. You know, people say, man, we really enjoyed the service. And they'll say, wow, the singing was just outstanding. And they'll go on and on and on about the singing, and I'll go, anything else? Man, the sing, that second song was just amazing. And the bathrooms, right? I mean, they'll talk about, okay, that's good. I don't care what it is. The singing's critical to preparing our hearts to hear from God and His message. It's critical. But I also would suggest this. Music, singing in your heart, literally singing from your voice, will be critical for you to do the hard thing. To do the uneasy things, right? We want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to be speaking to ourselves. I like this. I'm feeling so much company. I talk to myself all the time. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. I just want to challenge you with this. My wife is a happy woman, and I know she gets so tired of this. Maybe, you know, she said, you need to use other people as an example. Yeah, right. Any other wife want to be used as an example for me? Okay, Deb, you're it. And she's a happy woman. And when she's not, no, I'm just kidding, but she's a happy woman. You know why? 90% of the day, there's a song running through her mind. Deb almost can't think without a song. Ask her about the books of the Bible, and she'll sing some song. Ask her about multiplication, and she'll sing some song. No, I'm not kidding you, right? My kids, you know, they took their ACT singing it, you know? And so it's, but I will tell you, that may be one reason why she likes me. Because she's singing a song and she doesn't understand what an ogre I am. And I love that. So I'm not going to change this long. Just keep singing, honey. And so, but then look at this. So sing, be filled, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is critical. If we just start with wives submit, you understand this. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. And then when you're thankful in your heart, submission's not that difficult. It's a challenge. There's no doubt about it. And I want you to understand, submission is not when they've earned it. Submission is in honor to God. I'm not talking in an abusive situation. And so I've had calls, and the first question I say, are you safe? If they aren't safe, I say, then you need to get out of that house, okay? I never tell people to submit in an abusive situation ever, okay? Nobody in this room has ever made one of those calls. I mean, I don't want you to think. I just not. But I've gotten those calls. My first question, are you safe? Do you need help? And we're going to get them safe. We're going to get them help. Never does the Bible ever condone using Scripture to abuse. It's always sin. But I want you to see that you need to be filled with the Spirit, you need to be filled with a song, and you need to be filled with thanksgiving. Then, guess what comes next? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'm telling you, if you struggle with the whole concept, and I want to tell you this, just know this. We all struggle. How many of you like working for somebody else? Raise your hand. Nobody does, right? Oh, you like working for somebody else? Oh, that's good. You like working for somebody else? Okay, that's good. Well, I am working for somebody else. I'm married, right? So I'm just kidding. Bad joke. But so some do. That's okay. But most we don't like to because we don't like somebody else telling me what to do, right? And so here's the key. And then guess what? Submitting yourselves. This is to a church. Remember, this whole passage is about the church. Then it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And it's submission. And I show you this, as unto the Lord. A husband has no right to demand sinful, ungodly behavior. Never suggests that. The Bible says, as unto the Lord. And so understand this. But when you're filled with the Spirit, being guided and directed by the Spirit, when you have a song on your lips and a song in your heart, and when you're filled with thanksgiving, submission's not so bad. You know why? Everything is for the glory of God. I told somebody this the other day, that my eternal security, and it's so criticized, right, that once saved, always saved, and I never use that term that much publicly, but when I'm in Christ, I'll never be out of Christ. It's permanent. You know why that's such a critical doctrine? Because it is to the veracity and to the integrity and to the glory of God. You see, for me to suggest I can lose my salvation is to disparage the reputation and the honor and the character of God. You see, the beautiful thing, if I understood all this, and I would say submission is a wonderful opportunity to go against this flesh and honor my God and honor Him in all things. And when I can submit to others, then I can submit to Him. That's why we teach our children, right? That's why it's so important. And I know this. Submitting to your parents is getting harder, isn't it? It is. You want me to talk to them? No, you just want me to make it public right now. Could you just tell me the top three issues? No, I'm just... But do you know why? It's just because you're becoming a young woman, right? You're becoming a young woman, and God's intent is that you'll be on your own one day, you know, and whether that's marriage, we'll see, whatever that is, right? And so, do you have somebody? I'm just kidding. Don't you say anything, Pastor. I promise you I won't tonight. Come Wednesday night, I got some information. But I want you to know this. Here's why it's so important. I just picked on you, and I love this. You're so kind to me. Allow me to do this. If you learn to submit to them, it'll help you submit to God. And it's difficult. Oh, I remember closing my door with my parents, shaking my fist at them, you know, because I'd never do that in front of my dad. But man, when I was behind that door, I was like, you know, and that's not good. It's not good. It was sin. It was sin, but it felt good. But if I would learn to have submitted to them better, submission to God and submission to others in authority over me would not be so much of an issue. God understands it's difficult. So even for you with your parents, follow this. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. Be filled with the song. Have a song in your heart. And then be filled with thanksgiving. And you'll find it's not as tough as you thought it was. It's the key to marriage as well, right? Because, you know, I've said nobody ever got married because they hated somebody. But boy, you find out. It's like, whoa, good morning, bad breath. And you find out a whole lot more, right? But we need to love them, cherish them. Because I tell people this, I'm married to God's daughter. He's not only my heavenly father, but he's my heavenly father-in-law. That is challenging for me, right? I don't want to make her papa mad at me. And so God's always in control. I'm not suggesting that. Now let's look at one more verse. This is an important passage because you know 1 Peter 3 is going to deal with a similar topic of submission. But I want to show you the preface before the submission that's asked for wives in 1 Peter 3. Because if I show you in 1 Peter 3, it says likewise in super small font in every single Bible. No, see, you see this? It says likewise. So that's what's important for us to go to. What does he mean, likewise? So when he says, likewise, wives, submit your under husbands, it's like the Lord and the example that the Lord just gave us in 1 Peter. Now let's see what that is, 1 Peter chapter 2. And so this is what you'll love about this. This is so beautiful that when you submit to an earthly man, right, in that 1 Peter 3, and then he talks about us, and we'll talk about verse 7. That'll be my fourth point. That's where study comes from, 1 Peter 3, 7. Duh. And you guys couldn't get it. But it is, let's just see. So I want to tell you this. Ladies, since the likewise is first to you, you are picturing Christ and you honor Christ when you submit to an earthly man. And so here's what he says. For even hereunto, you know, 1 Peter deals with suffering in a great way. This passage deals with suffering. So it deals with suffering in verse 20. For even hereunto were you called. We were called to suffer. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, I just paused there. I meant to, and I forgot. I was going to give you all of the answers that were just hilarious to me with your L-E-S-S. And I thought some of them, like, suffering. You know, so the key to marriage, suffer, you know. And I got suffering a lot. So it's not like the person's out there going, I'm the one that put suffering. Yeah, I think it was universal. No, it really wasn't. But suffering. God wants us to be married so that we suffer like Jesus did on the cross, right? No, not so much. But understand, he's going to say likewise. He says, because Christ also suffered for us. And this needs to be a focus of us every day, leaving us an example. So we likewise can submit that you should follow his steps. And speaking of Christ, I just love this. Who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Listen to this. I'm just telling you. You ever had guile in your mouth? Now, Randall might say, never have. Randall, you're so nice. You ever have, let's see, who can I pick on? Who's had guile in their mouth toward your spouse, right? Raise your hand high. No, I'm just kidding. You don't need to raise your hand high. But, see, Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, and he was being mistreated. Who, when he was reviled, just put yourself in the marriage situation. Reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. You see, that's what we got to do. You could take this. This is just relationships. The Bible is the best book on relationships. The Bible is the best book on how to be a great manager. The Bible is the best book on anything you want that's practical in life. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Then he says, likewise. So what an offering unto the Lord. He says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they're lost. They don't obey the word. They're lost. They also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. And so it speaks of this submission. I won't go into that for sake of time. But there's an old story. This lady, she loved her husband, and he was lost. And he was abusive with his words, abusive with his disrespect, abusive with just not caring for her. So he worked a particular shift, and he would bring many of his buddies home, and he'd say, cook us a meal, woman. She would cook him a meal, and she did that month after month after month, and she loved her husband. She never complained. And she just, I'm sure she did in her heart, but not to him. These guys that began to come over to their house, they began to talk to him and say, "Wow, your wife's amazing. Your wife is just something else." And after they kept saying that over and over again, he started just bringing them, you know, all the time. All of a sudden, it began to touch his heart. And he came in one day, and he said, "I didn't bring anybody home today." He goes, "I wanted to know, why do you do this every day?" He knew he was being abusive. You understand that? People that are being abusive, it's not like they're ignorant of it, right? He didn't care. He mistreated her as though she was a piece of property. And he said, "Why do you do this for me? Why are you so kind to me when I'm not kind to you?" Tears streamed down her face. And she said, "I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to know my Savior. The Bible tells me the way I'm going to win you is without a word." And she said, "If it takes making eggs and bacon every day for you and your buddies, and you ultimately trust in Christ," she goes, "I'll do it every day until the day I die." Man began to weep. And he told her, he said, "Tell me about your Jesus. I've got to know him, and God saved me." She won him without a word. But you see, submission, while it's difficult, and it's with men as well, right? Submission, if we see it as a gift, as an offering, as a beautiful thing unto the Lord, then God will be honored. Remember this. That's all that everything in life is about. Is the honor of God. When we wake up, how do I honor God? How do I make this day a gift for God, right? And so, my front row scholars, I will tell you this. You just submit to your parents with a joyful heart, and God sees it, and it's an offering unto him. You ever go by Longhorn Steakhouse? Do you like steak? I'm not sure. We probably need to buy the Tillery's a steak for the whole family one time. And so, but you don't have steak that often, right? Not that often. Okay. All right. We'll figure something out. Steak is awesome. You ever drive by a steak place? No, they don't want to tempt you, right? It's like, yeah. No, we want to go by White Castle. And so, that sounds, anyway. I love the smell of Longhorn Steakhouse. Longhorn's probably my favorite value restaurant, right? And it's not that cheap, but it's not precinct. So I love steak. I love steak. But when I smell that, it's like, oh. It's like this. When you do something honorable to God, he says it's a sweet smelling savor through his nostrils. That we can send an offering up to God. When you do something that is for him that nobody sees, and that's what marriage is, isn't it? Behind the scenes. How are you honoring Christ? God sees that as a sweet-smelling savor in him. Final thought, L-E-S-S, love, enjoy, submit, and then study. This was the most obvious of the acronyms that I had. Just kidding. In fact, I still have to buy Ron and Ellen their Chipotle. I forgot. I meant to have the Chipotle tonight. What's that? Precinct? $10 at the precinct. Yeah, you know what that'll get you? That'll get you a toothpick, man. So it's study. And so here's what I just, 1 Peter 3:7 is really the only verse I have for this. And I actually, those that got the first three, I actually told them it's in 1 Peter. And if you ask me the right question, Ron said, it must be 1 Peter chapter 3. And I said, sounds like a good assumption to me. And so I thought for sure they were going to get it. But, you know, they're hard-hearted. But look at 1 Peter chapter 3. It's likewise ye husbands. So the likewise goes back, I believe, to 1 Peter chapter 2. How do we honor Christ? With this same spirit of Christ, this same, not that we don't revile, that we don't do all the things that Christ didn't do. And he says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. See, what I love is we're heirs together. We're equal heirs. There's not a less than proposition. Men and women are equal heirs unto Christ. there is a structure that God gives. It's not a less than structure. The fact that men are called to be the pastors and leaders of churches is not a less than proposition of women. It's not a statement at all. I'll tell you this, there's women that they can preach and they should preach, just not over men. And the only reason I hold to that position is because we are way better than them. No, it's it's because the Bible says so. You guys, man, you're a little stiff tonight. You know, lighten up a little bit. You guys, after week one, you're like, I don't know. If I laugh, you might think I agree. Just understand this. The reason we hold to that position is not to be chauvinist. It's because God said so. Women are equal heirs. I will tell you, women make or break a church. I've seen it. They will make or break a church. And so God says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. See, God has put us in authority. There is something about it. It's God-given. If you notice this, right? Now, not always. I mean, there is a vast difference, right? There's a vast difference when a woman deals with a child and a man deals with children. A guy walks in, the kids are like, ah! Okay, that's loud. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times, Josh, one time I came home, and he was mouthing with Deb, and I'm like, he doesn't know I'm here. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what I did, because it's probably not that good, before I was pastoring. I didn't hit him. I just grabbed him by the neck, lifted him off the floor, and I said, I'm going to let you down in 5 seconds. And when I let you down, I want you to speak to me like you spoke to your mother. Go ahead. No, Dad, I don't want to. I said, that's my woman. You will show respect to her. And so, men will always be the leaders. Because God made us that way. Don't abuse it. They're equal heirs. They are the weaker vessel. They're not less than. Don't abuse it. Period. It's called sin. And here's what I love. I get right with Deb every Saturday night and every Wednesday afternoon. I want God to hear my prayers. You don't think that makes a difference? When you teach Sunday school, does that go through your mind? You want to be right with God so you're a little bit closer to your wife? Yes, no, maybe? Right? I'm telling you. Then you kind of get used to it when you preach all the time and you're like, meh. No, but I think of it all the time. And we've joked sometimes. I said, oh, the devil's here. It's Saturday. You know, it's like, it's so we kid about that, but it's, I want to be right with her, not just checking the box. I don't want my prayers to be hindered. God takes it that serious. But he says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Study your wife, but I would say study your spouse. Listen to this. I don't think I have this. I don't think I put this verse up there. You know, it's, we're all just challenged. Women are challenged to know men. Men are challenged to know women. And so was Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Listen to Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19. This is Solomon. There be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four, which I know not. The first three, Solomon must have been way smarter than me because I'm like, I don't care. The first is the way of an eagle in the air. Okay, happy for you, Solomon. The way of a serpent upon a rock. Okay. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the fourth, the way of a man with a maid. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and he still, it was a mystery. It was a mystery. I love this. Men and women speak two different languages. Females are the very earliest of ages, at the very earliest of ages, generally, not always, are verbal oriented. Males are noise oriented, you know. Guys, is right. Women speak about 15,000 words. This is true. There's exceptions. I'm different. I speak more than any woman in this church and in my wife. Women speak about 15,000 words a day, and men about 9,000. That's why when the wife gets home, she still has so much to say because she still has 6,000 more words to use. God created Adam first so he'd get a chance to speak. Bear with me. One gentleman said, "My wife always gets the last word." His buddy said, "You're lucky my wife never gets to the last word." A woman said that the reason they need to say twice as many words is they have to repeat everything twice for the men in their lives. Females are people-oriented, males are things-oriented. I think there's so much. If you hand a little girl a piece of paper and a crayon, she'd draw pictures of people and faces. And hand a little boy a piece of paper and he'll draw pictures of cars, trucks, tanks, and planes blowing up. It doesn't change with age. Men are bottom-line oriented, again, general. Women are detail-oriented. When men communicate that they are seeking solutions, when women communicate, they are sharing themselves. So different. If you don't know the five love languages, you need to get the audiobook, listen to it. Just listen to it. It's well worth it. I was married 18 years and didn't know the five love languages. I am words of affirmation. And you know, normally they say you have a secondary love language. My secondary love language is words of affirmation. And so it is the most flaky of the love languages, and being a pastor, right? My wife, and I didn't know this for 18 years, she is, and so this is hilarious in so many ways. She's acts of service, and here's the way, words of affirmation, hee-ho, hey-ho, hey. When is it done, right? So she can go, "You're looking good." That can last a couple weeks. I'll be like, "I'm still looking good, aren't I?" And so I affirm myself, but words, acts of service, she's acts of service, and then she's physical touch. Is that hilarious, right? So, you know, I love that. It's like, "Oh, you want to hold my hand? I love holding your hand." Yeah. And so I love, but you know this. It's like I am the opposite of physical touch. You came into my space. You're in my yard, man. Get out of my yard. And but so it bugged me forever. Deb would see an old friend. She always, ladies, there's an appropriate way to hug and an inappropriate way to hug, right? A little side hug, right? That'd be good. You know, I'm not trying to. It's just my wife's always been appropriate. She's always been considerate. And, you know, she would see an old friend, some guy. And she'd give him a hug. And I was like, "Huh? What is up with that?" I would never hug anybody. To be like, "How you doing? Good to see you." And, you know, I told you the greatest fear I had when I felt the need to pastor was first thing that came to my mind. I know. I wish I was deeper than this. Oh, gag. I got to hug people at weddings and funerals. I got it all figured out now. Right? Funerals, man. I got these tracks out there. Hands extended. Passing out tracks. Now, you can't overcome some people, right? My favorite funeral was the Hell's Angels guys. I'll tell you that story one day. The Hell's Angels guys. You're literally that. They were the most tender funeral I've ever had. Every one of those guys. They were older. Ponytails, chains, snotted and hugged me, every single one of them. But I loved it. The snot. But it is, but my wife, acts of service and words of affirmation. It was a gap for me. And what's that? Oh, no, she's, yeah, physical touch, right? And so everybody likes a compliment, right? There's giving of gifts, right? And I'm glad we're not giving of gifts. I mean, we would horrify. If there's any giving of gifts, are there any giving of gifts people in here? Kevin. Kevin is giving of gifts, isn't he? He would be horrified. Good thing I'm not married to him. And so, but it's, we're not giving of gifts. You guys, one of you guys, that's your second. Oh, man, it's like so good. I didn't know that. I would have done my research to say, man, you know, we're like, "Hey, happy anniversary for the next 5 years," because, you know, we'll buy some gift. And but I just tell you this, it matters. It is just, I kid you not, right? I mean, if Deb wants to butter me up for some love, right, she'll just say, "Whoa, your hair looks good." I'll be like, it's the suave I use, right? And so for me, it's like this. You should see me. If I empty the dishwasher, it's as good as a massage. And you should see me when I empty the dishwasher. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I make a scene of it so she sees, right? And she's just like, "Man, you're looking good tonight," right? But it she loves that. You know, the dishwasher, we had to learn a few things because some of you guys know I'm not detail-oriented, right? And so it would turn into disaster. It'd be like, "Where's my some stupid little small thing?" I'm like, "Well, I put it over here," right? So now I'm like, I have to be like, dun, 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 and I put it just in the right spot, and I'll be like, and I still find out that there's things, you know, so we have compromised. So the things that I never get right, I just put in the dish rack. Because I'm like, I have not figured out how to do these right, so here we go. So I get the 90 for 10, and she gives me credit for it. Right, I take the trash out, I'm like, hey, I'm taking the trash out. And you know why? She's acts of service. I want to love her the way she feels loved the most. And so it is, that's why you study your wife. They're not asking for that much. They're not. I mean, it got so bad in our house, and I'm just about done. We had to buy magnets for the dishwasher. There's only two stinking people that live in our house now, right? But we have magnets. Dirty. Clean. You know, and I'm like, was that magnet for me? It was. That stinking magnet was for me. I'm like, I thought it was for our neighbor because, man, I don't care if those dishes are clean. I'll just get them from the dishwasher. But no, it is. But, you know, I've loved it. I've learned to love who she is. Because I think I told you this. You're not going to change them. Final thing, I'll tell you this. Just learning my wife. You've heard this story probably before. She's a detail woman. Detail woman. I mean, like no other woman I've ever met in my life, right? It used to wear me out early in the marriage. You'd be like, oh. You don't have to act interested. Oh, man, that is just amazing. Can you tell me more? And so we've learned, and she knows how to give it to me in like bite-sized chunks. But I've learned this. Her detail used to bug me to death. But I've learned to love it. Opposites attract it. She's detailed. I'm not. Study your spouse. I want to close with this. The less. I think I did. I may have one more slide. Oh, I actually did put Proverbs. Oh, let me put, yeah, just this. Remember I told you, you don't have to be married for this message to be relevant. You need to study Christ. That's the lifelong objective and ambition should be of every believer in here. To know Him, to grow in the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ, to study Him. Are you bored? Are you tired of studying Christ? Never get bored of studying Christ. This is the key. Love the Lord with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Enjoy the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Submit to Him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then study. Study the Lord. Know the Lord. You see, you didn't have to be married for this message to be relevant. If you're married, apply it in marriage. But I will tell you, if you don't apply it to Christ, you're going to have a tougher time applying it to marriage. Marriage is of God, but it pictures everything in Christ. That's why in heaven, there'll be no marriage, because Christ will be enough. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for a people.